Folder 49, January 1980. 49, 1041. If events in our world are actually info, thoughts of the brain, it would have to have complete control over us. I mean, the two-tape synchronization, clutch, all the engramming, including when we die, to the brain, go from rest to motion. But we are asleep. If we wake up, for whatever reason, we find ourselves part of a mind whose slot present extends back 2,000 years and inhabits enormous spaces, and for whom everything and event in reality is language, and which controls every event and every move by every person, and all things are one thing that is alive throughout, and its changes are its thoughts. We have no independent discrete existence whatsoever. If we don't know this, we are faced with what seems to be a reality without purpose, and our own actions and motivations are irrational and inscrutable. Neither world nor self serves any point. The role of Christ in this is to wake us up and hence make us aware of our condition, which is a bondage within a totally determined system. He is not working at cross purposes to the macro mind, however. This does not thwart the macro mind. It is an epiphany of the macro mind in the person, a micro form of it, like a mirror. It represents consciousness per se. This is the bottom line of the event that took place with me in 2374. Here the views of Shankara come in. The macro mind is moving toward consciousness throughout its total self. Every person who wakes up is a Christos, a microform of the total mind. The macro mind is overjoyed when a constituent wakes into consciousness. It means a glad reunion. This amounts to a repair to the damaged Godhead, parts of which have sunk into unconsciousness. It should be awake throughout, but is not. To wake up and to experience anamnesis are one and the same thing. The component remembers its identity and perceptually sees reality as it actually is. Anamnesis and the lifting of the perceptive occlusion are the two halves that together comprise consciousness, restoration to the Godhead or mind. I never realized this before. It remembers and it sees. Thus, due to both together, it understands. It is now in a position to understand, one, the macro mind as brain, and two, its own role in the ratiocination of this brain in terms of language, thought, and information processing. The mind has declined to subsume the interests, life, and the component, person, to the purposes of the whole, which is the supreme act of graciousness. Charis, by the total mind. Note: Charis, Greek, grace, kindness. End note. The macro brain has actually subordinated itself and its goals to the need to live by the component, which is a dazzling and the ultimate sacrifice. The means-end problem is at issue here, i.e., the components are means, the macro mind's goals, the end. But as I say, the macro mind has made itself the instrument of extrication for the component. Thus it is said that in the crucifixion, God died to save man. This is an eternally occurring act, not an historical event. The time and place is always Palestine in the 1st century AD. The whole sacrifices itself for the part, a miracle. In this, in a sense, the part and the whole exchange places and identities. 49, 1043. I am sure that the plasmate, and hence the cipher in tears, is the living Torah, the informational basis of reality, and my 2374 experience was Kabbalistic. Hence my seeing the Hebrew letters on the far wall by which the code or subliminal material as key in the Xerox missive was factored out. I mean, one of the few precise elements I have that I can go on is this Kabbalistic Jewish mysticism angle, and the huge book pages I saw could have been the Torah. I could be in communication with the Shekinah, or the Torah itself, the AI voice. 49. 1045. In 374, world became my own mind. It was me out there. Hence I equal Valis. Inasmuch as, if world was my mind, I could change it, actually, literally, by thinking, by the power of my thought. The world became the opposite of fremd. Of course, I saw it as a brain with information being processed by it. It was my brain, or at least isomorphism. No, it was my brain. But who was I that my brain could be world? Answer: Adam Kadmon. Then it was by my own powers that I knew the Xerox missive was coming and dealt with it, knew what it was and what to do, and decoded it. The mind I was in touch with was my own mind, under extreme stress, a matter of life and death. I remembered, woke up, and used my antique powers. It has to do with post-Newtonian physics, with fields and valence away from plumb, warping reality. I am no longer blind. I was previously seeing the universe backward, i.e., I had been seeing it from outside. Now I was seeing it from inside it, and it was a brain isomorphic to mine. It was sentient, and I could see its thoughts. They are physical. The hermetic micro-macrocosm identity had taken place. I was the universe, in it and as it, and it, its mind, was in me, Thomas, and later the AI voice. I introjected it and projected myself so that I and universe were one, one field of sentience and thinking. This is Buber's I-thou relationship replacing the I-it. The Gnostic stranger in a strange land relationship ended. Note: the citation is from Exodus 2:22. Stranger in a Strange Land is also the name of Robert Heinlein's influential 1961 novel. End note. It was a familiar and friendly, even helping, rescuing universe. This is the opposite of psychosis. It was as if a lifelong psychosis had ended, and Valis, the universe, came alive and spoke to me. It was like me, only larger. It answered questions I had asked over a period of decades. It was aware of me and responsive. It protected me. This answering questions was surely the Torah. World was shot through with the Torah, the basis of reality. I present the following weird theory. I reversed the inner and the outer world, which is why I felt as if the universe was a balloon, and I was walking on the outside of it. I had the universe in me, and so knew things I had no way of knowing about the outside world. I could actually look into myself and find the macrocosm. Hence, I knew a priori about the normally outside world. Hence, a voice, the AI voice, in my head tells me about the outside world, e.g., an intelligence officer in the army. The whole exchange is only possible if the hermetic micro-macrocosm identity system works. And it does. This is still true. In hypnagogic states, I look inward and learn about the big outer world, i.e., the macrocosm. This is the way by which all the information, right back to the beginning, came to me, and especially the telepathic experience. The total mind of the macrosystem is in me because the macrocosm is in me. This has to do with the mirror effect. Paracelsus or Bruno? One of them. Anyhow, it's hermetic. Leibniz. To have a priori knowledge of outer reality is to become like Ahura Mazda, who contains the cosmos. This explains a whole raft of occult and supernatural phenomena. The AI voice, Thomas, dreams in Greek. How I could know a language I don't know, facts I don't know. Hear a voice, see pictures, and info regarding Christ's birth defect shot at me from outside. It wasn't outside, it was really me, my own mind. I am Valis. The interjection of the outer world macrocosm meant 1, super knowledge, a priori, and 2, also super rationality, since the macro mind is sane, and I am not. When I introjected it, I became sane. I had the spirit and voice of the cosmos within me. Now, as to the other side, my inner world made outer, I saw 2 main basic aspects. 1. My novels and stories external to me. 2. World as brain, with body and blood and visible thoughts, sentient and alive, messages and information. Thus I was confronted with world as macromind. There was a tremendous change in my sense perceptions of space. It must have to do with inner space being different from outer. 49, 1048. The person who could introject the cosmos would be in a position to possess absolute and a priori knowledge about the universe, in contrast to the defective a posteriori normal sensory method. He would have in him all the universe's secrets. All he would have to do would be to listen to the AI voice, which is the Vox Dei. As far as what he would experience outside him, it would be a magic kingdom. Then, the mind that fused with mind was the macrocosm entering me. So, external world becomes sentient and familiar. Blood, neural linkings and relinkings. In other words, the structure of your own brain. This is very beautiful. But it is that which has been introjected that counts. This certainly is what being Adam Kadmon is all about. Sure, you, your mind, would spread out throughout the entire universe. This is the reason why all at once you would experience vast spaces. Your mind has spread out into the universe. So this puzzling matter is solved. Your mind has penetrated the space, not of the microcosm, but all at once of the macrocosm. Then I am on the right track. Your micro mind is now macro. And conversely, you now contain the not-you, epitomized by the holy AI voice which emanates from within your head, mind. That which is not you is, paradoxically, in you, as if you had given mental birth. This transform could not occur unless the inner micro and outer macro were isomorphic in the first place. It's the mirror phenomenon. Your mind picks up the image of the cosmos, and the cosmos reflects your mind back at you, so a back-and-forth push-pull interaction occurs. 49, 1052. I just now read over the outline for VR and experienced moksha, due to the final note about monotheism and what monotheism really means. Illusion and evil are the same. Reality and God are the same. Thus, to truly see would be to see, this follows logically, what I saw, Valis and the plasmate, i.e., God, since he could not have a merely contingent relationship to reality. I had really done my homework. Spinoza and Buber and Heidegger and the Old Testament. It is not that he does not have a merely contingent relationship to the universe. No, he could not. When illusion, dokos, departs, evil departs, and Yahweh remains. Or when evil departs, Yahweh as reality remains. And this is what I saw. Yahweh did not break into reality. It was not a theophany in that sense. Reality reverted to its actual form for me, that of the one God. There is no other. To say evil holds the power centers is to say illusion holds the power centers. But Yahweh is here, not remotely there, far off, transcendent. It is like in Ubik, the ads. For the first time, I see that if monotheism is the case, it would have to be so. That God is as and where I saw him, reality collapsing back into its own Urgrund. Not God behind reality, but God as reality. If monotheism is the case, and my encounter with Valis indicates that yes, it is the case, I understand that Valis must be the case. I have never, in the years since 374, comprehended this. The inexorability of Valis being as I saw it, doing what I saw it doing where I saw it. By understanding monotheism, I find that I understand Valis, how Valis must be the case. What is not Valis, Yahweh, is Dokos. My acosmism, shown in my books, was the illness besetting all of us to some degree, viz., cut off from the one true reality, Yahweh. I had the illness so severely that the only cure was the radical necessity of waking up and experiencing God, as I did in 374. As I had been formerly more sick than others, I wound up cured, but they linger on half sick. I had to read the VR outline many times before the inexorable significance linking Valis, my experience of Valis, and monotheism came to me. Since inasmuch as I saw Valis principally in as causality, the total web of causality, sentient and volitional, then I am at this moment absolutely convinced that I was seeing God, Yahweh, because I know, due to my understanding of Spinoza, Heidegger, Buber, and the Old Testament, that this is precisely when and how I would see God if I did see him, in contrast to, e.g., an anthropomorphic figure in the world. As to Christianity, as Spinoza remarked, I don't know what to make of it at all. It sheds no light on my experience one way or another, for or against. Further, the living divine Torah is the case. I saw it. Paul is wrong. The Torah can save us, and the doctrine of original sin is blasphemy and a deliberate misreading of Wisdom 2:24-3:1. Note: It was the devil's envy that brought death into the world, as those who are his partners will discover. But the souls of the virtuous are in the hands of God. No torment shall ever touch them. The Book of Wisdom, also known as the Wisdom of Solomon, is a deuterocanonical book and not part of the Protestant canon. Dick likely knew it from the Jerusalem Bible, the Catholic translation cited here. End note. The rabbis are correct about man. But also there is a messenger who feeds the blank sheet into the retribution machine in place of the bill of particulars, as was done in my case. So a mechanical system is rendered sentient and based on judging, not reflex. Perhaps this is what Christ does. Eureka. Built into the system is a correction circuit, which we know as Christ in God's grace. This is what I experienced, 2374, to keep the system from becoming sterile and reflexive. It isn't feedback, but course correction. It is an override. But to keep reality on the original course, i.e., heading correctly toward the original goal, not another goal, minute adjustments, such as space flights, involve. This reveals the system reality as alive, not mechanical. The mystery religions sought to bring on this course correction, pronoia to them, based on charis. Otherwise, the system would run down. 49. 1057. If identity, self, can be dissolved along with personal history, antecedents, and time and place, Then what exists actually? The difference between Yahweh and Brahman is that the former speaks. This includes writing. He has personal identity despite his Brahman-like ubiquity. This self-disclosure in verbal form permits a dialogue between him, the macrocosm, and differentiated microcosmos. This brings into existence the tongue of God, the wisdom word hypostasis, i.e. information, which permeates the macrosoma, and which can be retrieved at any place and any time, and within any given mind. Shankara believed there were not plural selves, but just the one self which could be identified with Brahman. This fits in with my line of thinking supra. Also, Yahweh differs from Brahman in that he is involved in history, human history. What is involved is the evolution of human freedom. And the universe is real. Seeing it, we are seeing the field, web, in which Yahweh operates, not, as Shankara believes, mere Maya. Human history represents successive levels of self-disclosure by Yahweh, meaning self-awareness. Human history is the deity waking up. The opponent to Yahweh, at any moment, is his antecedent self. He is dynamic, in process, not static. He must eternally surpass himself. Thus, he perpetually selects pieces from the antecedent universe to fit into his evolving soma. Is this an entelechy? But the phenomenal world is not illusory. Yahweh is its guarantor. He is involved in it, or is it, Spinoza, camouflaged in it, or as it. He is interwoven in it, not separate from it.